Marco.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hope you had a good day.
Still working. I'm still at work.
What kind of work do you do?
I'm in the safety department for a safety contractor. I'm in the refinery.
Understand. Good evening.
Hello. Good evening.
Please join me in saying the Anabakaw. Anabakaw out. Gedula chimincha. Tati. Serura. Alephat Gimel Yuntat Sadi. Kabel Rinat. Amcha Sagbenu Taharenu Nora Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshechudcha Kevavat Shamren Moldalid, Yudkaf Shin. Bachem Tacharem, Bachame Sitacha, Tami Yamlen, Betegresh, Tzaditaf Gemel. The letters of the month of Av. The Kaf that created the planet we call the sun. In Hebrew, it's either Shemesh or Chama, and the Tet that created the constellation Aryeh, which is the lion, which is the astrological sign of Leo. Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Nael Adata Het Kufbet, Tet Nunayan. Yachid Gea, Lamcha Pene, Zokre Kidushata, Yud Gimolamed, Pei Zion Kuf. Shavatenu Kabel, Ushma Tiakatenu, Yodea, Talumot, Shinkufav, Tadiyud Taf. We have brought the energy of creation into our space, and now we will separate between the right column energy and the left column energy utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei. El Rachum V'chanun Erech Apayim V'rav Chesed V'emet Notzer Chesed L'alafim Noseawon Wafesha V'chata'av V'nakei. We're now going to connect to the energy of the year of the goat, which is the year 5777. There are two verses that we study that connect to this energy. The first that we study is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. And we will say a L'shem Yehud before that. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bidhilu Urchimud, Hilud, Hilud, Urchimu. Leakta, Lishem, Yud, He, Bevav, He. Beyehuda, Shalim, Beshem, Kol, Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, Lasok Torah mitzvah. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu konenei aleinu maasei yadeinu konenehu. Tzot Aduni katzipor o yivai chinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to parse them into tzatz ki ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of these words, we're able to create dir yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that we study connecting to the year of the goat is from Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. In this verse, the name of the year is spelled out. The letters of that name of the year is separated by seven letters each. Kim ba Adonai yo hey wahe Elohechem tadibaku kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. Well, now, there are also two verses that connect to the year 5776, which is the year of the pause. The first of these verses that we study is 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim ha'ayu limat v'lo yachlu lehashit. Et kol ha'olot v'yechaskum acheichem ha'levim ad gelot hamlacha v'yad yitkadshu ha'kohanim ki ha'levim yishrei levav l'yitkadesh me'ha'kohanim. There are 25 words in this verse. When we take the first letter of each word, we're able to permute it into eight names of God. Adonai Yohe Wahe La La He Wa 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 Yola Yo Ala Me He 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 Aka A Reka Ha. The second verse that connects to this energy of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidchu ba Adonai Yohe Wahe Ade Ad Kibia Yohe Adonai Yohe Wahe Tzur Olamim. The year 5775, as the energy of swallowing death forever, there are three verses that connect to this energy. The first is Job, chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni lo tarpeni ad biliruki. The second is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru, uru, minikol ha-machavoyiyam, asher yitchabei sham l'shavtem, eilai el nachon, v'halachti itchem, v'chayayim yeshno, v'aretz v'chipasti, O Tov B'kol Alfei Yehuda. And the third is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Tegelo lanetzach yoved roav yomru ayom. The verse 5774. Or the year 5774 has one verse only. The energy of the year is peace in the Middle East. The verse that we study is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisamti makom leami leYisrael untati vishakan tachta vilo yirgaz od vilo yosifu v'nei avla le'anoto kasher barishona. We're now going to study a verse from Zohar, from the Parsha of Yitro. It's Pasuk 29, and this verse has the energy of certainty. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Tane Nan Dekudsha Barichu Koma De'aved Le'ela Witata Kolaihu Kishot Be'ovada Dikshot Felei lachmila bi alma divae parnash ledachya leya mineya ulan haga feya kalana dehakulu ovada dikshot inun wikola itzterich bi alma. We're now going to connect to the 72 names of God by scanning the chart. Please start scanning. And the 72 names that come from the Tzaddikim, we're going to say out loud by utilizing the root vowel for each letter. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo he anu a kamaita. Hey hey yo anuda la hey wa hey mea yo ta la me re hey hey yo yo hey me me wa 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 ka be yo la yo wa pe nu la nu me ha yo hey yo me nu hey 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 wa. Nu yo he he shia yo re ta shia a shia he re la yo a wa me la yo be wa he re yo yo wa la he he ka a ko me nu da a nu yo he wa me re he a. Yo he za, he she he me ka ha wa wa la. Yo yo he sa a la, a re yo a la. Me ta, me ta he. Wa he wa da la yo he yo she a la me. Nu he a nu wa ta he. Nu ata me la he pe a yo. Nu ko me yo re la he be he me za re. Wa he be yo a he a la wa me za yo. Ga he be me ka ko a la ya he he wa. Re la he yo yo me he la yo. And the names of the Tzaddikim who chose to leave this day, the 12th day of Av, Rabbi Arya Leib Katzenelbogen, Rabbi Moshe Ber Ben Rabbi Aaron of Stolen, Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Ben Rabbi Menachem Menish Magolis, Rabbi Yeshayahu Ben Rabbi Abraham Moshe Veltried of Kalish, and the 8th verse of the Anna B'Koach, we say in a whisper. Today's class is Advanced Reincarnation. You can find that in row 11 of the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, the second column from the left. And please scroll down. When you open up that link, you can scroll down to class 12. The handout will start at chapter 10, section 1. The title of that section is Fathers and Teachers. Does anyone have any questions before we start? The father gives a portion of his soul to the son, and the teacher gives part of his spirit to the student. My commentary. Note the difference between the soul and the spirit. Spirit refers to the level of soul called Ruach. Soul refers to the Nefesh. It makes no difference if a man marries his soulmate or if he takes another woman who is not his soulmate. He can father children that are sparks of souls from his own root or souls from a different root. The father gives a portion of his soul to his children. The mother also gives a portion of to her children, but her role in Gilgulim is not as relevant as that of the father. This portion becomes an exterior garment to the soul of the son. My commentary. This chapter, there is a change in the commentator, even though it is not publicized. You can tell by the change in nomenclature. This commentary, in my opinion, will confuse you. I'm going to attempt to clarify the commentary at the end of the section. Please ignore this commentary as we read it and wait for the commentary at the end of the section. According to the Kabbalah, everything in creation has two aspects: light and vessel. When we are talking about humans, for example, these two aspects are called body and soul. When we are talking about Partsufim, the aspect of light is usually called Mochin, brains. But here we are going to also use the original term, light. Actually, the light itself has three aspects: light, mochin, and selamim, images. But these details do not concern us here. Although everything has these two aspects of light and vessel, there is another third aspect which lies intermediate between the light and the vessel. It is called the levush, or the garment. Because it is an external garment to the light, this garment is interior to the vessels which comprise the limbs of the partsuf. But it is called levush because it is the garment of the light and the mochin. It covers them and dims them to eliminate the possibility that vessels might break because of the great magnitude of light entering into them. This levush, or garment, is actually the sephirot of Netzach, Hod, and Yesod of the higher partsuf. For example, let us say that the lower partsuf is Zeranpin, and we will call the higher partsuf Ima. But in the realm of the soul, this description applies to the relationship of father and son as well. The light of Ima that is within its three lower sephirot, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod, ascends upward into its own Tiferet, leaving the vessels of Netzach, Hod, and Yesod empty. Then the light or the mochin that is being transmitted to Zeranpin from above through Ima enters into the vessels of Netzach, Hod, and Yesod of Ima. The vessels of Netzach, Hod, and Yesod of Ima become the garments for the light of Zeranpin. And in that configuration, they enter into the vessels of Zeranpin. Afterwards, Ima grows new Netzach, Hod, and Yesod for her own light of Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. The Chabad of the light of Zeranpin enters into the Chabad of the vessels of Zeranpin. The Chagat, Chesed Gevura Tiferet, of the light of Zeranpin enters into Chesed Gevura Tiferet of the vessels of Zeranpin. The Netzach, Hod, and Yesod of the light of Zeranpin enters into the Netzach, Hod, and Yesod of the vessels of Zeranpin. However, the garment of the light of Zeranpin, which is the Netzach, Hod, and Yesod of Ima, is always situated between the light and the vessels. In our text, the Arizal wrote, "The father gives a portion of his soul to his children, and this portion becomes an exterior garment to the soul of the son. The portion that was part of the father's soul is the Netzach, Hod, and Yesod of the father's soul. It becomes a garment of the soul of the son. This portion that became an exterior garment to the soul of the son helps him and guides him down the proper path. For this reason, the son is obligated to honor his father. The father gives up a part of himself for the sake of his son. Therefore, the son is obligated to honor the father." There are many reasons for the mitzvah and the Eser Diprot of honoring the father. The commentator is giving one explanation here, but it is not fully explained. The purpose of the father giving a part of himself is to protect the soul of the child from being overwhelmed by the light from the higher level. This is the implication for what happened in the world of points and the Torah's words of Tohu Vabohu. When the son realizes that the father has donated parts of himself to protect him, he needs to implement the consciousness of appreciation when he does actions to honor his father. However, if there is less than 500 levels difference between the soul of the father and that of the son, then the portion of the father's soul will remain with the son's, even in the time of Mashiach. We have already learned that each of the Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama has five partsufim, and each partsuf consists of 613 limbs, and these are called major roots. Now it will be explained with the help of God in the Gate of Reincarnations, Chapter 11, Section 2, that each of these limbs or major roots has 600,000 branches that are called minor roots. Each spark is a whole soul in itself. Yes?
I know. May I ask you a question, or do you want to finish that sentence?
No, that's fine.
Okay. Back into your commentary. Let's see. This is the implication for what happened in the world of points. Is the world of points having to do with Nekhudim?
Yes.
Okay. I'm still not to the point where I'm ready to ask you questions, but I'm seeing now where these certain things that we've been studying relate to those three words that we have, Nekhudim, Akhudim, and Meridim. Okay, that was one of the questions I had. The other is it's talking about how the father, what the father gives to the son, but they don't mention the daughter. If the father gives up a part of himself for his son, what does the daughter get? Does she get from the father or she gets from the mother?
You have to remember, the definition of a soul is male and female together.
Okay.
So when it says the father gives to the son, it's saying the father is giving to both the son and the daughter.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
It becomes somewhat complicated in the sense that the father gives to the son. Okay, but the son and the daughter, being soulmates, may not be born to the same parents. So the father is giving to the son and to the daughter of the other parents. So it gets complicated if you try and follow it that way.
Okay.
It's easier to just accept the concept that the father gives to the children.
Right, okay.
And not be concerned with whether it's this particular father or that particular father.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. I'm going to mute again.
Okay. And I'm going to continue where we left off in the bold. Each spark is a whole soul in itself that must enter the world in Gilgul, each one in its time in order to achieve Tikkun. In addition, each one of the 613 major roots consists of 613 sparks. These are called major sparks, and they may divide into 600,000 minor sparks, according to need. Thus, there is a maximum of 613 times 600,000 minor sparks in each and every partsuf. This number, by the way, is 367.8 million. Each spark is a whole soul in itself that must enter the world in Gilgul, each one in its time, in order to achieve Tikkun. Thus, each one of the roots and sparks of each partsuf have a place or level in the general hierarchy of souls. The levels of two different souls may be close to each other in this hierarchy or far apart. If the distance between them is more than 500 levels, then the portion of the father's soul given to the son will remain with the son's soul even in the time of Mashiach. Nevertheless, in the time of the resurrection of the dead, or in the world that is coming, everything returns back to its root. they will separate completely. If there is less than 500 levels difference between the soul of the Father and that of the Son, they will remain together even in the time of Mashiach. However, in the time of the resurrection of the dead or in the world that is coming, when everything returns back to its root, they will separate completely. On the other hand, if there is a difference between them of 500 levels, or more than 500 levels, then the lesser will be nullified within the greater. They will permanently unite forever, and they will never separate. The two of them will become one root. This is in regards to a father with a son. A teacher gives some of his spirit to his student. Regarding a teacher and his student, we have already explained that a teacher gives some of his spirit to his student, like a father does to a son. This does not refer to the Ruach, which is often translated as spirit. That is one of the Nefesh Ruach Neshama. Rather, it refers to a minor Ruach. In effect, the Arizal does not consider the information transmitted by the teacher to the student as a mere ethereal non-entity. Rather, it is something that is real. It has content and substance, and it endures forever. However, it is a more forceful connection. The spirit stays with the student forever, and they never separate. This is the esoteric meaning of the joining of the nefesh of David with the nefesh of Jonathan. The joining of the souls of David and Jonathan were also mentioned earlier in chapter 3, section 1, in a different context. It was based there on the verse from Samuel. Here the connection to the verse is more general and less explicit. This is the reason that more respect is due a teacher than to a father. There are many laws regarding respect due to a teacher and also to a father. The teacher referred to here is called a Rebbe Muvchak. This, which is defined as someone from whom the student has learned most of his wisdom. In our generation, it is very difficult to imagine the relationship between a student and a Rebbe Muvchak. In general, more respect is due to a teacher, a Rebbe Muvchak, than to a father. For example, if a person's Rebbe Muvchak and father were both captured by pirates, and he only has money to redeem one of them, then the Rebbe Muvchak takes precedence. It is the same if he can only save the lost or stolen property of one of them. The Talmud provides a simple reason. One's father has given him life in this world, while one's teacher gives him eternal life in the world that is coming. However, there is an exception to the rule when the father is also a scholar, and all the more so if he is also the son's teacher or the teacher's teacher. What is the case if the teacher of the student is also his son? Then they are doubly bound together because the same one is his teacher and his son. If there is less than 500 levels difference between them, then they are permanently bound together to each other. This is according to what was taught in this section previously. If there is a difference between them of 500 levels or less, they will permanently unite forever, and they will never separate. The two of them will become one root. The Father is bound with the Son because he, the Son, is the teacher. And the Son is bound with the Father because he is his Father. The two are bound to each other, this one to that one and that one to this one from both sides. In one respect, this one is higher, and in another respect, this one is higher. Nevertheless, they bind together. They become one root, and the lesser will be nullified and subsumed within the greater. My commentary. If you are not confused, there is something wrong with you. Please remember that these laws and regulations that apply to reincarnation do not follow logically all of the time. Also remember that you are meant to reread the Sefer Sha'arei Gilgulim a few times. This section is not meant to be understood the first time. You are not expected to understand this section right now. Maybe it will take 10 years to understand it. Maybe more. What is meant to be taken away from this section is the following. Children can come from the same soul root as the Father, or from any of the other 612 roots of Adam. Children need a garment to protect them from the higher lights that they may come into contact. This garment comes from the Father. This garment guides the child down the proper path. This is one of the reasons that the halakha is a Jewish woman needs to marry a Jewish man and not a man from the other nations. If the man is from the other nations, that soul that becomes a garment can guide the child in another direction that is not true Torah. Sometimes the soul parts that form the garment return to the Father, and other times they remain with the Son. The criteria for this is 500 levels difference. This 500 level difference has not been explained as of yet. Ultimately, all sparks will return to their original root. Yet that may not occur until the ultimate return to the endless world. It is possible for the Father and Son soul parts and sparks becoming united to such a degree that they form a new soul root. A soul spark is equal to a soul and at the same time is part of a soul. There are many different components and sparks within the levels of souls. One calculation is each soul has 613 major limbs, and each limb can be composed of 600,000 minor sparks. This means that each soul level can have 367.8 million sparks. A spark is equal to a soul, and a spark is also part of the soul. A teacher-student relationship is similar to a father-son, but it is also different. The teacher gives part of his soul when he teaches a student. These parts apply and follow the rules I have explained in the book. One major difference between teacher-student and father-son is the part shared by the teacher with the student will stay with the student till the world that is coming, or the time of the Mashiach. That is why it is important to choose a teacher with wisdom. A teacher needs to be shown greater respect than a father is something we all need to try to live up to. The Arizal brings the situation of a son teaching his father and how that strengthens the interaction of the soul parts. When Kabbalah is taught academically, They spend an extensive amount of time with the vocabulary of the Sephirot, the souls and the worlds. The commentator in this section brought that information to the commentary. It confuses those of us who are not taught that until the four phase classes and the Tree of Life classes, which none of you, or some of you have had, but some have not. Do not beat yourself up over this issue. You will learn this section again, and it will become clear the next time, or if not, the next time after that. I hope this summary is helpful to you and for you. Are there any questions? The next section is Chapter 10, Section 2. The title is From Parents to Children. We will now speak further about children born to fathers. Obviously, children are born to fathers and mothers, but the Arizal is specifying here the father only. The reason will become clear at the end of the section when he talks about Azael. In some children, the dominating driving force comes from the father, and sometimes to an extreme degree. When a man unites with his wife in intimacy, after the energy of the father, there is drawn the son's surrounding light. Also, the aspect of internal light is drawn from the energy of the mother. My commentary. Please notice the additional term in intimacy. This is because everything relates to consciousness. The soul that is drawn from the consciousness of all the people around the couple. If the act of procreation is done in public, God forbid, all of the watchers' consciousness will impact which soul is drawn. Surrounding light is the potential that this child has received. Surrounding light is what this child has the potential to reveal during its lifetime. The internal light at birth is the life force necessary to remain alive. As one grows, the potential surrounding light becomes internal light. It was mentioned earlier that all things consist of two aspects, light and vessel. These two also consist of two aspects each. There is the internal part of a vessel and the external part. Similarly, there are two aspects of light. They are the internal light and the surrounding light. The internal light is the aspect of light that enters into the vessel. It is contained within the vessel under pressure because it cannot easily expand outward. The surrounding light, on the other hand, does not enter into the vessel, but hovers around it. It is much less concentrated, because it is not contained within the limited space of the vessel, although it is always connected and associated with the vessel and always shines upon it. The amount of light that enters into the vessel is always much more limited than the surrounding light. Also, the amount of light that enters into the vessel is always much more limited than the surrounding light, which is not forced into a limited space. Therefore, the surrounding light is considered greater and of a higher quality than the internal light. That is why it is the surrounding light that brings about miracles, whereas normal everyday affairs are in the province of the internal light. The process of transmission from parent to son is the same, irrespective of whether it is surrounding light or internal light. The light is clothed within the nefesh, the netzach hodin yisod of the soul of the parent, as was taught in the previous section. Now, since the surrounding light is greater, it is associated with the sephirah of the right side, which is also the higher one called Chachma and Abba. Correspondingly, the internal light is associated with Bina, called Ima. Now, at the time of their unification, it is possible that both parents will concentrate upon the mitzvah and upon holiness. The mitzvah is what we have been commanded. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. The intimacy that derives from a long-term relationship of husband and wife is also considered by many to be part of the completion of the mitzvah. The characteristics and qualities of the children depend upon the thoughts and behavior of the parents at the time of conception. The mitzvah should be done in purity and in holiness, and in that way it increases the holiness of husband and wife, and it increases holiness throughout the world. This is a very important subject in the Kabbalah, but this is not the place to even begin the subject. In addition to the laws of family purity that must be known, the reader may also refer to the Shulchan Aruch concerning the set and setting of the mitzvah and to the important Kabbalistic book ascribed to the Ramban called Da'at Kedusha, the knowledge of holiness. Now, the Arizal is adding here a well-known Kabbalistic rule that when the mitzvah is performed with purity and holiness and proper thoughts, then it also increases the holiness of the offspring. Another important associated Kabbalistic rule is that the characteristics and qualities of the children depend upon the thoughts and behavior of the parents at the time of conception. Alternatively, the concentration of both of them may not be for the sake of the mitzvah, but for their own pleasure, which would be considered evil. Marital intimacy without pleasure is just as bad as when the partners are only thinking about satisfying their own physical desires for stimulation and pleasure. Indeed, children born from intercourse where there is no pleasure are likely to be damaged physically or mentally. On the other hand, the desire that the partners have for each other is a positive factor in the determination of the child's level of intelligence. However, when their thoughts and concentration are only on physical pleasure, then the quality of their unification plummets downward towards zero. In addition, such people are likely to do other things that are wrong. In the preparation for their meeting, in the setting of the intimacy, and in the human dynamics of their relationship. Thus, their unification can actually eventually take place in the realm of evil, God forbid. And then they give birth to devils, God forbid. Alternatively, the concentration of the father might be for good, whereas that of the mother is bad, or vice versa. If both of them are thinking about holiness of the mitzvah, then the child will be a perfect tzaddik in surrounding light and in internal light. If the intentions of both of them were for evil purposes, then the child will be completely evil in surrounding light and in internal light. If the father's intentions were for good, but that of the mother was bad, then the surrounding light of the child will be righteous, but the internal light will be wicked. With the passage of time, the surrounding light will overcome the internal light, and he will become completely righteous. This is because the surrounding light includes the internal light, and it, the surrounding light, will overturn it to purify it. The surrounding light includes the internal light because they were originally like one light. Some of the original light entered into the vessel, but most of it remained outside. Thus, the light that is inside the vessel was once included within the greater light that remained outside. There are some children who are very sharp and they cannot stay still, whereas some children are lazy and move very heavily. Since the surrounding light is greater than the internal light, the former will conquer the latter and change it entirely, if necessary, into something good. The quality of the two lights in turn will influence the child's character and behavior, and even many of the things that will happen to him throughout his life. If the father's intentions are for evil, but the mother is for good, then the surrounding light will be bad and the internal light good. However, after a time, the surrounding light that is bad will overcome the good internal light, and it will also get bad. Nevertheless, it seems from the following words of the Arizal that the situation is not clear-cut black and white. There are degrees, and there are other factors. If you want to know if the power of the father or of the mother will dominate, then you can recognize it by the lightness or heaviness of the sun. It is not clear-cut that the power of father always dominates. There are other factors that alter the determination. It is possible for the power of the mother to sometimes dominate. These other factors, however, are not the subject of the Arizal here. Rather, he wants to describe how it can be known if the light coming from the father will dominate or vice versa, and the consequences upon the child. The internal light is limited and it is not dynamic, but the surrounding light moves around outside and propels a person to the place that it wants. Consequently, if you see a person who is light like an eagle and runs like a deer in all his activities and quick in all his work, it is because the surrounding light that comes from the energy of the Father dominates over him. Yehuda ben Taima said, "Be bold like a panther, light like an eagle, swift as a deer, and strong like a lion to do the will of your Father who is in heaven." On the other hand, if you see someone who is lazy and moves heavily, it teaches that it is the internal light from the side of the mother that is dominant. Now, everything goes according to their deeds, by which I mean that if the father's intention at the time of intercourse was for the mitzvah, then this child will be quick to do the work of heaven, and he will be very great in Torah. However, if his father's intentions were only for his own enjoyment, then he will be quick in the tasks of this world. The opposite is also true. If he is slow moving when his mother's intentions was for the mitzvah, then he will be lazy to do the work of this world. However, if her concentration was not upon the mitzvah, then the son will be lazy in the work of heaven. Having said this, it is possible to understand why there are some children who are very sharp and they cannot stay still, whereas some children are lazy and move very heavily. The children of the first group are those heavily influenced by the surrounding light. The second are those influenced by the internal light. High magnitudes of surrounding light can produce a power capable of overriding natural law. This is the reason that Azael, the brother of Yoav, was unfathomably light upon his feet. The story of Azael, the brother of Yoav, is told in chapter 2 of 2 Samuel. The sages said that he could run over the stalks of grass without bending them. In other words, he ran so swiftly that his weight never came to rest upon the surface. Before it could rest, he was already gone from there. It seems to us that the sages are speaking here metaphorically. However, the Arizal is insisting that we take their words here literally. Definitely, a midrash of the sages cannot digress from its simple meaning. However, with what was mentioned here, it is understandable. The energy of his father was over-dominating, and there was no material energy within him at all. The surrounding light was totally augmented within him, and he was almost able to fly through the air. It seems to me that the point of the Arizal here is to teach that high magnitudes of surrounding light, combined with proper intentions and thought patterns at the time of conception, can produce a power capable of overriding natural law and provide an instrument for wondrous miracles. This is the end of chapter 10. My commentary. This section is very clear and important for people to know as to the characteristics that their children will have. Most people who do not study Kabbalah hear about this teaching and laugh at it. The true reality of consciousness is the unity of the couple. Maybe they are not thinking of the mitzvah, but of giving pleasure to their partner. This unity also impacts the soul that is being drawn. This is the end of the chapter, the end of our class. Does anyone have any questions? Our next class will be a Zohar class. We will be completing the discussion of the Tefillin from the Parsha Vayetchanan. Our classes will return at 6 p.m. Motzi Shabbat or at the end of Shabbat, where we will do Havdalah and also third meal. And at 7 o'clock, we will have a Zohar class for the Parasha of Ekev. Does anyone have any questions? I wish you all shalom. Have a beautiful evening and Shabbat shalom. And hopefully we'll see you in the next classes. May you all have much peace in your life. Shalom.
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 Thank you.
Thank you, Renata.